Church family, I thank you again for being here with us this evening in honor of these amazing seniors. This right here is one of those groups that I look at and I reflect a lot of like a good show coming to an end. You guys remember whenever your favorite TV show ended and there's that one last episode, whether it be Parks and Rec or The Office, Dr. Phantom, those are shows on Netflix you can watch in your free time. But I look to this group and I think of them like that. And as they leave, I think of the many memories that we've made together and the fun that we've had. And it's one of those moments you don't want to happen, but you'd be ashamed of them if like they didn't graduate high school, you know. And so I'm so grateful for everything that they've been into our student ministry. And just to give you a highlight of what this group has meant to me and Jordan, when we came in view of a call, and I didn't know anything about what I was doing, and y'all found that out that night when I talked for 4.5 minutes or 7 minutes. I sat in on their Sunday school class that Sunday morning. Me and Jordan sat in with you guys, and Craig and Cindy were teaching, and these kids were talking about four-wheelers and horses and all kinds of stuff, and it was just exciting to get to spend time with them as eighth graders right there. And then, just a full disclaimer, Rylan Hodges was one of the first students I met from FBC Ardmore before I knew I would come to FBC Ardmore, and I still wanted to come to this church. So clearly the Lord was in this thing, whether he's 8 pounds or more. Right when you get there, you know, right when you think they're done, you know, and you're like, well, look what we've done. We've made it. Joanna, Charlie, I'm sorry. Y'all still got your hands full. But no, this boy is still as silly as he was in eighth grade. And he knows where I live, and he's vandalized my yard several times. I started to cry today, and I don't cry. So when I say I started to cry, I just don't want you to think like ugly cry or anything. It was just there was water, and it didn't come out. Like the levee held strong, you know. But you men know what I'm talking about. Like when it's all wet inside, and you're just like, don't break, don't break. I started to cry today when I thought about these students and what all they've meant to me. And I just want to share with you guys that when I look at this group of amazing kids, I don't see tigers and Indians and comets and longhorns. To me, this is Ardmore Hardcore. And this is a group of students that helped me find my place at FBC ARD. And they helped me and Jordan become better student ministers to our whole church. And I'm so grateful for them, and I recognize them as world changers because they've changed my world. And I look forward to seeing how they'll change the world that they're going into, and all for the name of Jesus and no one else. I want to talk to you guys today about some things that we've been talking about with the senior Sunday school class. The last couple of weeks, I've had the honor to be inside their Sunday school group and hang out, and it feels weird standing over to this side. I should stand right here just like you. It's Dr. Bannon, just in case you're like new and you don't know who I'm talking about. Been hanging out with these seniors the last couple of weeks in their Sunday school time, and we've been looking at this story of Joshua and Caleb. And you guys who are familiar with God's Word, you know Joshua and Caleb. They're awesome guys, right? And God had given them a mission, and Moses gave them an assignment, and just to kind of catch everybody up to where we are in God's Word and what's been going on the last couple of weeks. And I want you to follow with me, and then we'll dive into God's Word together. But if you need some time finding the text, I want you to open your Bibles up to Joshua chapter 14. Don't start reading, just start turning, all right? But to catch you up in what's been going on so far, Joshua and Caleb were asked by Moses to go and to explore the promised land. And we know that the promised land was something that God had promised Abraham, and that's Father Abraham of many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. God made a promise to that Abraham that he would one day have his children would rule this land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. I always think that's got to be a lot of honey, because honey flows really slowly, like in the bottle when I'm trying to get it out, you know. But anyway, this land is supposedly flowing with milk and honey. And Moses says, hey, I need a delegate from each tribe to go into this land and to check it out. And so Moses gets the first church committee of 12 people and he sends them off into the land. And they all come back and they're excited, right? They're talking about the fruit that they saw, which I hadn't realized this until this year, that the fruit, the grapes were so big, it took two people to carry them on a pole. And that's huge because I have to pay for grapes by weight at Walmart, and I praise the Lord that they're not that big anymore because I love grapes. But these grapes are huge. The fruit is huge. The cities are huge. The people are huge. And the people come back and they talk about how big everything is and how scary everything looks. And 10 out of the 12 say, no, 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 we can't do it. No, 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 it's not possible. It's not going to work. We can't win this land. And two of the 12 say, we got this. And that's Joshua and Caleb. And when I look at this senior class, I see a lot of Joshuas and Calebs, or Joshuettes and Calebettes, however you want to pin it down. But I see students who aren't afraid of big things. I see students who have a relationship with a big, big God. But Joshua and Caleb, they tried to tell the people. They said, hey, we got this. Got this right here in Numbers. I'll read it for you. It might be on the screen. It says this in Numbers 14. It says, two of the men who explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. That's how mad they were. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land, And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us! They have no protection, but the Lord is with us! Don't be afraid of them! Let's pray for a moment. Let's ask the Lord to just bless this text and speak to us tonight. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for who you are, God. God, I thank you that you are a God who is for us and not against us. And I thank you, God, that we have nothing to fear because you are with us. God, I pray that we will chase after you. I pray that we will make it our goal to make you known. And Lord, I pray right now, nothing will stand up against us that intimidates us or fears us, because we can always trust in you. Lord, we pray that today will glorify you. We pray that you'll speak to us, you'll transform us, and you'll change us. God, help us be like Joshua and Caleb. And all God's people say. So Joshua and Caleb, they stage this out and they go, no, we got this. We can do this. They're not big at all. But majority rules, and the 10 get the entire nation of Israel, millions of people, to be like, oh, we ain't going to do that. And I talked to this senior class and I said, guys, I don't care what the rest of the world says, because we live in a world that's jacked up. We live in a world that doesn't even know what a boy and a girl is, y'all. This is how crazy life is right now, and this is the world these students live in. And I said, don't listen to the majority. Hold tight to your faith. The entire nation said, no, we can't do it. Two men said, come on, we can. Moses and Aaron were right behind them. They're saying, come on, we can. But God spoke to the people and he said, because of your lack of faith and because of your lack of obedience, you will be punished. And for 40 years, you're going to wander through the desert and all y'all are going to die. Man, that didn't seem fair, did it? Joshua and Caleb and anyone under the age of 20 were allowed to survive through 40 years of wandering. And have you ever felt like you wasted some serious time in your life? You know those ads that come up on YouTube and you're like, Lord, I ain't got 8 seconds. Come on, hurry up. Let's go. Anybody feel that way sometimes? How about that one commercial that pops up in the middle of your primetime TV show and it says, The Bachelor will be back in 60 seconds. And you're like, I ain't got 60 seconds. The drama is real. 40 years. 40 years. They wandered. I'm not even 40 years old. That's forever. Some of y'all are 40 twice, and hey, that's a blessing. But how crazy is it to think that for 40 years these people wandered, and then the time came when everyone who said no had passed, and the Lord said, let's go. And the people crossed the Jordan, and God did some incredible stuff. We know that they conquered the promised land. We know that they were victorious in battle after battle. We know that the sun even stood still for a moment when a man prayed the wrong prayer, but the Lord knew what he needed and he made it happen. We see that God does some incredible things with his people, and victory came again and again and again, and the land was theirs. And now we get to the part where you guys have turned to in Joshua chapter 14, right? The land has been conquered, and so now we have to divide it up. And God's people are like, how are we going to divide this thing up? And they show up with dice, and they're like, let's roll for it. Let's see what happens, right? Let's leave it to chance. And so they start to roll for the land to figure out who will go where, because we're talking about millions of people needing to be spread out across all of this land, and some tribes will go this way, some tribes will go that way, some tribes will go this way. And so it's a lot of process, right? We got to figure it out. And so as they're getting ready to roll those dice, Caleb, a man who's experienced waiting and patience, comes in Joshua 14, verse 6, and he says this: a delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. Let's pause for a moment. Is anybody here willing to admit they're 85 years old? Just to help us out. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Sterling. I appreciate it. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? All right. Don't be lying in church. Here we go. Verse 11. An 85-year-old man says this: I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Verse 12. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. That's where we are for the text today. And I love this text. These students have probably heard me read this text a few times, because I'm going to tell you what, this one gets me excited. This one gets me pumped up. This one gets me so, like, after I watch a Rocky movie and I want to work out until I go to the gym and then I don't want to work out. It's like that moment. You know what I'm talking about? So this is what's happened, man. I'm excited because he says, give me my mountain. And students and adults and everyone in the room, may we leave today saying, Lord, give me my mountain, because God has something for us, and we have to follow the example of Joshua and Caleb to go after it. I want you to pay attention today. I got 3 points I want to throw out your way, and I hope you'll pick it up. These aren't just points for seniors who graduated high school. These are points for all of us, because this is something that's been on my heart for a while, and I want it to also be on yours. So track with me if you can, and we're going to see what goes on in the example of this man, Caleb. First point is this: remain faithful. Remain faithful. Caleb points to his faith. When his peers were against him, his faith did not crumble. When the entire nation of Israel was against him, his faith did not crumble. Graduates, you're about to step into a whole new world. You've already lived in a world filled with lost people, but you're about to step into one with a lot louder lost people. So guess what? Don't let go. Hold on tight. Remain faithful. Parents, you're about to send your students off to college. Guess what? They're still looking to you as an example. Remain faithful. Just because your house is empty doesn't mean this church should be empty, all right? You better be here. We need you here. Students who are losing their siblings to college, maybe you're here for some just because of the chance tonight. Remain faithful. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't stop and don't lose hope in who God is and what God has done and can do just because the world is telling you something different. Caleb held strong when everyone else caved. The voice of the Lord is a voice that can whisper, but it's also a voice that can shout. So hold on tight to it, whether it's loud or soft. Remain faithful to Him because He's the only one who can't let you down. We like to remain faithful to ourselves. We like to remain faithful to the identity we built amongst our friends. We like to remain faithful to our parents. Your friends, yourself, and your parents will all fail you at some point or another. But the Lord will not. Remain faithful and hold on to Him, even in the hard times. And I know this group, and I know this church is in the middle of some hard times. And I pray that we will hold faithful. Number two. Accept challenges. Remain faithful and accept challenges. Caleb knows the terrain. Say 3 minutes. It's my wife. She's giving me signals. The students know him. Nobody else does. I don't even know him sometimes. Accept challenges. Judy, I've seen you give him signals too. I know you're helping. We might go a little over radio, catch it online, TV. Suck it up. Here we go. Accept challenges. Caleb knows the terrain. It's not simple. It's not easy. It's 3,000 feet above sea level. It's a challenge. It's not the soft land. It's not the low land. It's the hill country. And Caleb, an 85-year-old man, says, I'm as strong as I once was. He says, I still got it, y'all. And he feels good about it. Look to your neighbor and tell him, I still got it. That was weak. You don't have it. All right, here we go. A pastor I listen to, he has his church talk to each other sometimes, and I just wanted to see how well you do with that one, and it was rough, but we'll figure it out later. Accept the challenge. We understand that the mountain was tough, the terrain was difficult, the battle would not be easy. The people are giants, remember, and guess what? There's some of them who are still there. He knows that they are massive beings, and he knows that he's in for a fight. But the fight doesn't scare him because his God is bigger than what's in front of him. My favorite animal is a rhinoceros. Many of these students have heard it. My second favorite animal is a squirrel, because that's kind of like me. I'm a squirrel. I'm always running around kind of crazy, but I love the rhino. Let me tell you why I like rhinoceroses. You know, some of y'all are thinking it's because you're a big guy. It's like, hey, I'm working on it. I like rhinos because a group of rhinos is called a crash, where a group of wolves is called a pack. A group of squirrels is called a scurry. A group of foxes is called a leash. A group of cows is called a herd. Some of y'all are like, why do you know what groups of these weird animals are called? A group of rhinos is called a crash. Because rhinoceroses can see 25 feet in front of them. Isn't that weird? They can see 25 feet in front of them, and they're a massive tank of an animal, but a rhino can run at 30 miles per hour. So when a rhino starts to run, everything in front of it kind of gets a little blurry and gets a little, I'm not sure if it's there. But he keeps going. You know why? Because he's a rhinoceros. And he's going to crash into whatever's in front of him. And if something can, it's going to move. We as a group of believers need to be like some rhinos. We can't see what's in front of us, but we know this. Our God is big. Our God is huge. And I'm coming whether you want me to or not, because the Lord is with me. Who shall be against me? I'm heading into it, y'all. So please listen if you can. We got to accept the challenge and we got to see what's going on, because it might not be easy where we're going, but the Lord is still with you as long as you're His. Oh, my goodness. I lost my third point. But don't worry, I'll remember it. The last point I got. Remain faithful. Here it is. It's good. remain faithful, accept challenges, remember the promise. Remember the promise. Because here's what happens. Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, hey, I know you're about to roll dice and I know you're about to give away all this land, but don't forget what Moses said to me. Don't forget what Moses said to me. That's how I feel sometimes when I go to the staff and the other pastors and I'm like, don't forget what Dr. Fannin told me, Pastor Ryan. Pastor Curtis, Dr. Fannin told me, I'm his favorite. It's no big deal. They know. Cat's out of the bag, DF. We'll have to figure out a new game. Moses goes up to him and he says, hey, Joshua, I know you're about to leave this to chance, but don't you forget what Moses told me. Don't forget what he said. Verse 9. So that day Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that your and that of your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since then. Students, adults, church, hold on to the promise that God has given you. Don't let go of what he has spoken. Don't let go of the truth that he has revealed. Don't let go when you get away from this place, and don't let go whenever it seems like everyone else is going some other way. Remember what God told you. He loved you. He sent his son to die for you, and he has a greater life than what this world has to offer you. Church, if we can embrace that truth, if we can hold on to that promise, then we can do some great and powerful things and we can be world changers. I want to take a couple more minutes of your time, but I want you to see this as a celebration, not as a time that you missed out on some snacks and stuff. I know Tammy probably needs a couple more minutes because I've worked with her before. So let me just do this for a minute. How many of us have been scared and how many of us have been afraid to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone we know and we love? Just raise your hand with me if you can. How many of y'all have been afraid to accept the challenge to speak the name of Jesus? Maybe you should have spoken the name of Jesus, but you were too scared. Would anyone be so honest? Because I know I have. I have not stepped up to that challenge. Would you put your hand up real tall? I know I see some bimbos, especially in the balcony. Thank you, Tori. All right, here we go. Here's what I want you to catch, y'all. We all are scared and we're all afraid and we all run from the challenge sometimes. But God is with us. And here's something I want you to see. If you're a senior student and you led a friend to Christ at any point so far in your life, you've seen him come to know Jesus, would you stand up before your church so they can see you? I'd like to invite all of you to stand up for a moment. Everyone in the room. Gone off the rails. 7 o'clock. Church family, I want to invite you and I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to remain faithful, to accept the challenge and to remember the promise. I want us to be a church that shares the love of Jesus Christ with those who need it. I want us to be a group of people who aren't afraid to do hard things. And I want us to be a group of people who pray together. Dr. Fannin said the other day, which hasn't left me yet, we need a heart full of love, we need hands ready to serve, and we need a mind filled with the truth. Man, let's pray for these seniors, that they can be just that. Let's pray for this group of people. Let's pray for this church. If you're here and you're in need of prayer, let's let this be a moment where we're ready to serve.